from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking ball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Steer turns around, watches it fly. It's Tyrone Blanco's first career grand slam. He breaks the ball game open. A two-run homer in the second, and now a grand slam in the third. And the Royals lead 9-0 in Cincinnati. Fastball drilled, high in the air, deep to center field. Did he do it again? You bet he did. Tyrone Blanco hits another home run. A 413-foot shot onto the berm in center. There's some magic in that yellow crayon bat. Tyrone Blanco extends the Royals' lead to 3-0
with
his third home run in the last 2 days.
A yellow what bat?
In that yellow crayon bat.
Crayon?
In that yellow crayon bat.
What the hell does that mean?
So before we get into Tyrone Blanco and Bobby Witt Jr., welcome back into Vesco and Dusty in the Morning with executive producer Mac Morey. I've been told by many people, bosses, to really get your attention in 30 seconds, but I need everyone's attention here because this really was interesting when I heard this.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Is it crayon or a crayon?
Well, it's a crayon. I've never heard the term crayon bat before. Crayon is like that berry that you turn into juice with, like crayon raspberry or crayon apple or crayon orange.
Because a lot of people used to say, hey, can I get some different colored crayons?
Crayons, yeah.
And then some people call them crowns, and some people call them crayons.
I've never heard crowns before either.
Crayon.
Yeah, crayon or it's a crayon.
We're back to school in Missouri.
Yep,
we're
everybody's back now. Yep.
So if you're like a kid, right, hypothetically, you go up to your parents. What's on the checklist? Well, I need a couple of binders.
Right.
I need a couple of folders. I need some, I need some postcard or, I need some note cards. And I need an assorted box of crayons.
Crayons. It says right on the box, Crayola crayons, C-R-A-Y-O-N-S.
So Max on the other side. See, there's always
crayons.
One.
Crayons.
Crayons.
Yeah.
So funny. Me and my fiance and friends did this weekend. We talked about this.
In that yellow crayon bat.
I've never heard a crayon bat before. I don't know what
that
means.
I'm not saying Jake's wrong.
I'm saying
right.
I mean, that just doesn't.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Here's how to pronounce it according to Google.
Oh, you got it?
Crayons.
Okay.
There it is. That's according to Google pronunciation.
Crayons.
They really got their voice right with Google.
Crayons.
Yeah. There you go. Crayons.
Huh.
In that yellow crayon bat.
Nope.
Anyways, draw it back in.
According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the proper pronunciation of crayon is in two syllables, crayon. However, variations in pronunciation may occur due to individual and regional dialects.
There you go.
It's important to note that crayon is a generic term, while Crayola is our company name brand. Hmm. So that comes from the
Webster.
Yeah.
Webster's Richard. Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of articles about the right way to say crayon.
That's the discussion we had at the pool. I don't know if it was because there was like ayahuasca going around or if it was because we were just mesmerized that there was different ways to say it.
Yeah.
Because we were on the radio. So we brought it up. It's like, yeah, kind of interested. Is it crayon? Crown? Crayons?
Well, they went to Facebook. Some news station in Arkansas went to Facebook to get information on how to press. So, you know, that's the right way to do business. No, it's crayon. I mean, and anything else to me would be uncivilized. But I don't, I mean, to me, crayons, I don't know what that means.
Did the Royals, like, did the baseball gods do them a favor over the weekend and, like, let us be introduced to Dairon Blanco? Because the guy's shown, like, flashes, right?
Yeah, he was great. What, three home runs this weekend?
Yeah. One was a grand slam.
Yep.
And
he had more RBIs in one swing than the Reds did all weekend.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And he had three different colored crayon bats.
Cool.
Right? He had a blue, I think, a yellow, and a green.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a home run with all three of them.
There you go.
But it did seem kind of like, okay, maybe, you know, back in the, you know, in the dugout, Cotuero's going, all right, now we got another guy that can do kind of what the other guy does, and he's pretty good at it, and maybe there's a chance that this is one of those players that you kind of always see towards the end of seasons. Hopefully now, I don't know if it is, but you pray the baseball gods finally did the Royals a favor, whereas we've seen this before with, like, do you remember when Yordan Alvarez came on the scene for Houston? You're like,
yeah,
oh,
sure.
Great, they had
yeah.
him too.
Right.
Right? You're like, okay, where did this guy come from? And again, I'm not saying that Dairon Blanco is Yordan Alvarez, but I'm saying that there is a glimpse that maybe his style of play and the confidence he's having couldn't have come at a better time, because now you've got someone else to add to that lineup that's not Pasquantino, that's not Bobby Witt Jr., that's not Salvador Perez, and now you're taking a three-headed monster of a rotation to the playoffs, as well as maybe a four or five deep lineup with guys that can absolutely rake.
Well, you need guys to start to step up, and I mean, that's what happens over the course of a season, right? Guys at the beginning of the season do well. Some guys don't start getting hot until late in the season. That's why you don't want to trade everybody on your roster if they're not playing well in April, because sometimes it takes, you know, dudes a little bit of time to kind of heat up and get going and moving in the right direction. But as far as I'm concerned with Blanco, he's in the lineup till he proves that he can't be in the lineup anymore, right? Like, you got to roll him out there every single day with the opportunity that he presented with everybody over the weekend. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, he was the best offensive player in the lineup for the Royals over the no last doubt. 3 days. So he's in the lineup for me until he stops hitting. And so he better be out there today. And Q's got to ride that hot hand. It's such a baseball thing right now, right? To see a guy like this kind of come on. And then you got to stick with him for as long as you possibly can until he proves that he doesn't need to be sticking with anymore. And so until he cools off and until he stops hitting jacks and bombs and driving in runs, Blanco, for my money, is going to be in this lineup. And it's nice to have somebody kind of step up a little bit when you kind of need that bat right now. You're looking around going, who's going to be that extra bat? Who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be MJ Melendez? Maybe it's Blanco. Maybe it's Massey. Maybe it's whoever, you know, maybe it's Garcia. You needed somebody to step up, and that guy had a big weekend, man. So as far as I'm concerned, that cat's in the lineup until he can't hit anymore.
Yeah, he pinch ran for Frazier in game one, and then we may never see Frazier ever again.
Yeah, probably not.
Which I don't know if anybody's mad about that, but game two, he goes 3-for-5 with 7 RBIs, mm-hmm. 2 home runs. Pretty good. Follows it up on Sunday.
Big home run yesterday.
Hits another big home
kinda
run yesterday.
Kind of broke that game open a little bit
goes
yesterday.
Goes 2-for-3, hits another homer, has another bomb. Pretty big showing, and that's one of those things that when you play this time of year in these type of games and you play like that, that gets your coach's attention very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's something that, in my opinion, is great to see. And the other thing that I want to bring up, and I had this sort of Saturday morning thought process before we went and did the golf with the producers. Fun outing. Played terrible, dude. Swope Park, though, fun, beautiful, but very dangerous and very hard. But I had this thought, Bob, before I left. I want to get your opinion on it. And I want to ask Vern about this today, too, when we talk to him. If we're not in Bobby Witt's, like, start of his prime, we're still pre-prime Bobby Witt, it made me think of, like, the other guy across the parking lot, right? And I know that we do this a lot, but I always try to tell myself, what is a creative way to have the same conversation about what we already know, which is the obvious, two of the best athletes and two of the biggest sports play in the same parking lot? It still blows my mind. But, like, has Mahomes hit his prime?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When
yeah,
did he
yeah.
hit that? 2020?
Oh, no.
2019?
I think that first game. Like, I think he came out in his prime.
Like, you're dead-ass serious.
Yeah.
You think his first
– yeah, okay, I
this
do.
Is,
yeah.
This is your serious take.
Yeah, no. I think from that first game, like, he's been in his prime ever since he stepped foot on this field. I mean, there's never been a moment that's been too big for him. There's never been a moment where he's really failed. It's very rare. Like, they usually say in sports, anybody will tell you the prime is, like, from 25 to 28 years old. That's what people say your prime is, and then you get over 28 and you start to down the line, right? But there are certain athletes who, you know, kind of skew everything. Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. I mean 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in his first year and going to an AFC championship game. That's your prime. He started his prime the minute he stepped on the field, and his prime is probably going to end when it looks like it ends. Like, we'll know when his prime ends. If it starts, maybe it will never end. I don't know that Tom Brady's prime really ever truly ended, maybe until that last year, you know, down in Tampa where they were just about 500. But no, I think Mahomes has been in his prime since the minute he came out of the womb, you know, there on that soccer field in Los Angeles against the Chargers. And so to me, yeah, he's been in his prime for a while. I think Bobby Witt's entering his prime right now. I think we're seeing the beginning of Bobby Witt's kind of prime years in Major League Baseball. He didn't obviously have it his first year, second year, but now we're clearly seeing Bobby Witt is now entering into that prime of his career.
This year, as of right now, which this is still insane to me, I already know that I've already like kind of can see that Judge is going to win the MVP because of the obvious. He's a New York Yankee, the power numbers, whatever. Right. But Bobby Witt Jr. with a .350 batting average with 25 home runs, 173 hits.
Yeah, it's nuts.
25 doubles, slugging .617, has OPS of 1,018, which is insane.
Yeah.
25 stolen base. So again, I understand that Aaron Judge is who he is, but Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have 30 home runs. He might hit .350. He's going to have over 120 runs, which is going to smash the lead in baseball. He's going to have over 100 RBI, and he's going to have over 30 stolen bases. Plus, you add the triples and the doubles. And the thing that's scary to me is I don't necessarily think that he's hit his prime yet.
Yeah, I think he's entering his prime right now. And it's everybody's, you know, determination when they want to say somebody's entering their prime or they're in their prime. But, I mean, those numbers right there say, yeah, he's entering his prime of his career. You just, you know, you look at Bobby Witt and you're like, is this just the beginning of what's to come? I mean, you know, because these numbers are going to be hard to duplicate. Like, going into next season, that pressure is going to be immense. You know, on Bobby Witt Jr., he should be the front runner for the MVP next year. He should be the front runner for every major award, you know, that's out there in Major League Baseball. Everybody's going to be talking about him. The spotlight's going to be on him. The spotlight's going to be on the Royals going in to next season as well because of how good they're playing this year. And they're kind of, you know, ahead of the curve, you know, a little bit for where people thought they were going to be. But, you know, Bobby Witt right now is playing such good baseball that people are really, truly forgetting how good Vinny Pasquantino is playing right now, right? Like leading the league in RBI since the All-Star break. 13th sack fly of the season yesterday, tying the Royals record in franchise history with George Brett for the most sacrifice flies in one season, and we still have a month and a half to go, you know, in that season. Vinny Pasquantino is going to break that record. That's, and Salvador Perez is having himself one hell of a season right now, a Hall of Fame catcher. Bobby Witt is performing so well that he's even taking the attention of other guys who are performing well. That's the prime of his career right now. We have entered the prime of Bobby Witt. How long will it last? Probably about a decade, I would guess. Right now, it's baseball that you got talent like this. Hopefully, it lasts you 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, definitions of prime can be different. I think that's acceptable. I would say Mahomes for me entered it the year they went and lost to Tampa Bay. That's when I feel like he had the league figured out. Like the first year was great, and then when they went on their first Super Bowl run, I was like, okay, he's starting to just be like more of a magician than anything. And then all of a sudden, it was like, okay, now he's seen the league twice. He's still here. He's still dominant, and he's still an MVP. And I was like, all right, this guy might now be entering his prime at 24, 25, whatever it was.
But he never slowed down in that first year. Like, nobody was ever able to make an adjustment to Patrick Mahomes in that first year.
They hadn't seen it before.
They said, oh, the second season, they're going to make adjustments. He's not going to be able to play as good as second year. He was just as good. They won a Super Bowl. Nobody's been able to figure out Patrick Mahomes. And so that's why, for me, his whole career has been a prime. I mean, it's just been a wild ride that is unique and different. And it's okay to have exceptions to these rules. I know in sports, yeah, we like to be black and white, but no, there are certain guys that go into this gray area. I think Bobby Witt may be one of them, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. I mean, there's a handful of guys. C.J. Stroud may be another one of those guys that kind of falls into that gray area, depending on what he does this season. So right, there's guys out there that it's okay to say they've been in their prime since the minute they stepped on the field. Some guys are just better than the game, and I think right now we're watching Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt Jr. as two players that are just better than the game right now.
And that's what's crazy about Bobby Witt Jr., because you say that about Patrick Mahomes, where it's like you would think that pitchers know what not to throw to Bobby Witt Jr., yet still hitting 350, and it's August 19th.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is now what pitchers are trying to throw to Bobby Witt Jr., he's knocking out of the ballpark. Yeah. We talked about that home run last week that was up around his eyes, and when yeah, he hit that out of the ballpark, a buddy of mine who's a scout in baseball sent me a message. He goes, "Oh, crap." I'm like, what do you mean, oh, crap? He goes, that was Bobby Witt's kryptonite. Like, all the scouts knew, and everybody knew the book on Bobby Witt was you throw him a high fastball, he was going to swing, and he wasn't going right, to hit it. The fact that he put that son of a gun out of the ballpark put more fear into Major League Baseball than anything Bobby Witt has ever done, because the pitch that everybody knew and thought that they could get him out with was now being mashed 425 feet over the fence. And right, that home run was against Minnesota the other day, made everybody's heart sink around baseball going, well, damn, we can't do anything now to get this guy out, because that was a purpose pitch up around the eyes. That was a get him out type of pitch. Mm-hmm. And he put it over the fence. And when you're putting that ball over the fence, that's supposed to be the pitch that gets you out. I mean, what are you supposed to do now to Bobby Witt Jr.? There's just no way around him.
Pray.
So, you know, I just think right now we're watching a guy that's got all kinds of, you know, talent that is just exploding right now and is doing everything right. It's magical.
Speaking of magic,
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's got it for the first down.
Well, they talked about it in practice this week, and Mahomes even talked about the fact that he said Andy wants him to do it in a game. Well, guess what? Here it is.
So that was the play. Don't need to play the whole audio again. The only thing that's impressive is the pop of the crowd.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelsey's.
That's a 50,000 people crowd in an exhibition game. Preseason.
Yeah.
So he goes behind the back. And it's insane to me, because really that and Xavier Worthy, which we'll dive into later, were about the only things that really kind of made sense. And the other thing that also doesn't make sense is apparently Mahomes was pissed. Did you follow up on this? Because
yeah,
I was kind of like,
Are you buying that, though?
No, I'll tell you my theory on this. Here's Mahomes, then I'll play you Travis.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, Travis didn't run the route he was supposed to run, and then it was kind of a behind-the-back pass, kind of because I was mad. I was pissed off at Travis. He was supposed to run a flat route. I don't know if you can hear me on the broadcast. I'm yelling at him, and then he doesn't run it. So out of spite, I do a behind-the-back pass, but now it's going to be a highlight.
Oh, that's awesome, because you just improvised it. Is that what you're telling us? Is this all improv?
100%. That's what I've been trying to say it to everybody. It can't be planned. It's got to be just naturally happening, kind of in the groove of things. And so I actually forgot about it until halftime. Someone actually brought it up to me. And it wasn't like I planned that at all, or it wasn't a called play. It just kind of happened.
So he's pissed at Travis Kelce. He says it wasn't a planned play. It just kind of happened. So in spite, he threw it behind his back.
Right.
Then, of course, Chiefs reporter Mac McMullen then goes and interviews.
It wasn't a play. No, it was a play. It was a first down. You know, he's got the voice thing. And so he kind of mumbled out the play. I couldn't hear it. I was walking up to the line. I was like trying to decipher what he was saying. Before I knew it, he snapped the ball. And and then I kind of saw him out of my peripheral run to the sideline. So I was trying to go help my guy out. By the time I looked over there, he was already in mid-form, like a photo on a sports card, throwing the ball to me. So it was just, I guess, right place at the right time.
So, yeah, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it was a fake play?
No.
You believe it was a design play?
I think, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. So this is my script play for the Fescoisms.
Yeah.
And I think this is foreshadowing. I think this is because you got the little Travis Kelce on the sideline, right? So hear me out. Mm-hmm. He did the, you know, he's got the whole little, you know, right? What happened earlier in this preseason, Bob, with the Vegas Raiders? They dressed up a Kermit the Frog puppet, right? They dressed up a Kermit the Frog puppet.
I thought they named Gardner Minshew as their starter and were real excited about that.
I actually am because I love Gardner Minshew. And he's basically like the kids these days, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that's a good example. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so Kelsey's kind of like, what do you mean? He wasn't a play. He wasn't doing that on purpose. And then Mahomes plays it off and stays kind of coy. And he's like, nah, I was pissed because Travis was supposed to hit it like a flat route. He comes around and then all of a sudden he goes out of my bag without a spite. That ain't it, people. That ain't what's happening. What's happening is they're going to run that play against the Vegas Raiders. And then they're going to tell everybody, we tried to let them know it was coming. And they're going to call that play the Geppetto because that's the puppet master. It's going to be called Mr.
Geppetto.
You've
been working with me too long.
And they're going to throw that play against the Vegas Raiders on like a 3rd and 1 to seal a game. And then at the end of the game, they're going to say, we tried to show him it was coming. Maybe next time don't dress up a puppet and call it Patrick Mahomes and it's Kermit the Frog because that play was called Geppetto, the puppet master.
Yeah, see, I like the way you're thinking. I really
makes sense, right?
I like that conspiracy theory a lot. I want to buy into that conspiracy theory. I think it's really good. I do 100% believe that play was planned. I mean, I thought Jeff Schwartz's tweet was really funny about it where he says, I love this bit where they pretend it wasn't a design play. It was executed too perfectly to not be a design play, right? So it's clearly a design play. I think they're saying it's not a design play because it was probably one of those plays that Andy Reid said, don't you ever effing do again. You know, like in Major League, nice play, Dorn, don't ever effing do it again, right? Like, I think that's the type of play that was where they've been wanting to do this, wanting to do this, wanting to do this, wanting to do this, and Andy wouldn't let him. And so in the huddle, they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to act like I'm mad at you that you ran the wrong route. I'm going to throw it behind my back, and we're going to try to play it off like you're hiding from your parents, right? Like, I think that's the type of move that it was. They've wanted to run this play, and I don't think we're ever going to see it again. I think that play is done because once you run that play, the best part of running that play is now people are going to be planning for that play and thinking about that play. And that's what I've said over the years for Patrick Mahomes. When you beat teams, the Chiefs beat teams on Monday and Tuesday because the coaching staff is now going to sit around for Baltimore, for Cincinnati, for Atlanta, for Buffalo, for all these teams. And they're all going to have to put that play in and think about ways to defend that play. And they're going to waste time defending that play. And that play is never going to see the light of day ever again. But you're making people waste their time. The Chiefs are beating teams in preseason games by doing stuff like that to make the opposition prepare for it.
I love it.
It was so fun.
And the fact, could you imagine a sold out stadium on a Thursday, like on a Sunday night against the Raiders or something like that? And that sort of reaction happens. I mean, it's just, you finally got it. Folks.
Yeah, you got the behind the back play. Nice play in a game. They've been wanting to do that for years. They got an opportunity to do it in a preseason game. They took full advantage of it. They went to the sideline. Andy says, nice play. Don't ever effing do it again. And that's where we stand with that play. But now everybody's got to prepare for it because you're putting this stuff on tape. And like, that's one of the benefits of the preseason for me. Anyway, if you're the Chiefs, do stuff like that. Make people think about it and make them waste their time as they're getting ready for you. Because I don't think that play sees the light of day again, but every team's going to prepare for it now.
Here's a better call.
Long 2, short 3 at the Lion 33. 3-0 Kansas City. Steele gets it. No, they're going to fake it to him. They get it to Kelsey on that RPO fake. Great run. And he throws it behind his back. Mahomes has been practicing this at camp. Everybody's wanting him to do it. He just did it for 9 yards. He did one at the goal line at St. Joseph. That was absolutely perfect as Mahomes did it again. Just on a point. There's most quarterbacks that couldn't throw that forward with that much accuracy. He goes behind the back and a gain of 8 yards to Kelsey.
I mean, seriously, when Mitch says that right there, think about that for a second. There are quarterbacks in this league right now that have been named starters, like Caleb Williams, who couldn't throw that ball forward normal, as well as Patrick Mahomes threw it behind the back on a dime to Travis.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Kelsey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.